Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. Our show tonight, of course, is Whistleblowers, and that's brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit that takes place in Washington, D.C. each July, and I hope to be out there this year. I've got a couple of announcements to make while we wait for our guests to get here. I want to remind everybody about Operation Stand Together, and that's on the Mall, May 20th, there in D.C. It's put on by Vincent Deem. They're trying to get as many veterans together as possible to make a statement about the treatment of veterans. So if you can make it to that, it'd be greatly appreciated. Again, it's Vincent Deem at Operation Stand Together, that's all one word, .org. And all the information you need is right there on that page. Contact information, get in touch with Vincent. And they're working their behinds off trying to put this thing together. So do whatever you can to help out. Also, in Illinois, September, as I understand, 19th and 20th, is a Vietnam Veterans Festival. And it's not just for Vietnam veterans. It's put on by Vietnam veterans. It's open to the public. They're going to have vendors there, entertainment, basically for people just to interact with veterans going back to Vietnam and maybe some from previous wars. And who knows, by that time, we may be in war somewhere else. So there you are. Let's see, what else did I want to, there was something else. Oh, we go live stream tonight, starting at midnight, out of Texas, and I'll get all the information for everybody on that as soon as they get it forwarded to me. But it's a 24-hour stream, and we will be on TS Radio to all the shows, Whistleblowers, Guardianship, mostly Whistleblowers and Guardianship. We'll be on at 12 midnight and 5 p.m. in the evening, every day of the week. So that'll help get news out about our shows, get us a lot of exposure. And this is being put together privately, and they're doing this with their own money. We were top of the list in getting people to sign on and to allow their shows to be rebroadcast. So you might, if you're down in that area, they're going to be streaming, as I understand it, across the net. So as soon as I get all that information, I'll get it to you. My guest still has not shown up tonight, but we're going to start talking about it anyway. Our guest is supposed to be Sean Higgins, and he's been with us before talking about the Memphis VA. And it, my God, if things get any worse there, I don't know how bad they would have to get there before this place is shut down. If it isn't putting human waste from surgery down the drains, it's biohazard waste disposal, unsanitary working conditions, long wait times, medical records backlogs, and just so much going on. They keep swapping out administrators, and nobody loses their job now. Nobody loses their job. They just get transferred somewhere else, and they get a bonus. They're not supposed to be getting any bonuses, but it's like a re-upping bonus that they're getting. It's not just a bonus for doing such a cruddy job. Sean, though, has been terminated twice for reporting the wrongdoing at this VA facility. And they've fired him twice. He's gone and sued, got his job back twice. They were supposed to make things right monetarily with him. They never did, even though they were ordered by the court to do so. And but they never do. They have put Sean in a small hole in the wall they call an office. And how this man has endured what he has at the hands of this operation there. Of course, you know, we had Brandon Coleman on here a couple weeks ago about the VA in Arizona. And I almost imploded sitting here talking when Brandon talked about how at that VA in the Center for the Blind Veterans, they didn't have money for programs. They didn't have money for services. They didn't have money for this, that, or something else. But they had $600,000 to spend on a rock to add to the ambience of the center for veterans who are blind. And it's just more than I can hardly stand this time. Yes. Let's see. Shauna's, I guess, trying to call in now. Let's see if we can get him up here. I don't have him on the board just yet. Okay. I don't have him. Sean, if you can hear us, it's 917-388-4520. And, but anyway, Michael Volpe has just done recently an article, and this appeared on Digital Common News, and he was reporting, following up with Sean Higgins on this dispute that he's been waging with that hospital since he started working there in 2007. And he says in the article that though Higgins was ordered back to work with full back pay, he told CDN he still has not received money for the more than 1 year he was out of work, though that money was due in early 2016. And here we are in 2017, and we still got no pay for Sean. And he says the hospital has refused his request to convene an administrative investigative board to investigate the matter, and he has not been given any further information about how the hospital plans to investigate the incident. One of the things that came up in this article was this video that surfaced. Two VA employees assaulting one of the patients in this facility. Now, nobody's been fired, and they're investigating. They are. They're investigating. And but apparently nothing's going to happen. I don't know, when you have it on video, what is there to investigate? Do you see two employees wailing the hell out of a patient? And I'm sorry, shouldn't somebody have lost their job? I hope this is our man right here. Sean. Yeah, there you are. You scared me. See, now I might have to slap you up, Sean.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's all right. That's all right. I'm so glad you're here. I'll get over it, okay?
Okay.
All right. I told you about that stress thing, you know, when we were emailing. Now, see, tomorrow I'm going to have to be at a dead run all day long just trying to work off the stress from this. But anyway, I was talking about the article, Sean. For everybody, this is Sean Higgins, the topic of our show this evening. I was talking about the article that Mike Volpe did regarding your situation at this hospital. Update us a little bit on what's been going on most recently.
Well,
really want to hear.
Most recently, the 28th of December, I got my direct deposit, and I found out my check was $159.74 short.
Oh.
And it was the seventh time in the year of 2016 that I had a problem with my pay. So I went to my union rep because I'm at the point where, you know, I'm not happy at all because I got rent due, I got bills due.
Right.
And to find out that, you know, my check is short. So I thought somebody didn't put some hours in because they had done that before, shorted my pay, saying I was at work, and I was saying that I wasn't at work, and I was actually at work. So I contacted my union rep. My union rep contacted him, and about an hour later, supervisor caught me out in the hallway. And by that time, you know, I was kind of livid. And he caught me, and I said, dropped a couple of F-bombs, which at the time, now, I might not have should have, but, you know, I think I'm warranted. Because
there you go.
Because I make about $35,000 a year. Out of $35,000 and a year and a half out of work, I only got $18,000 in back pay.
Oh, jiminy Christmas.
And no one is giving us an explanation as to what, as to where the money went.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're at that time they came to me and told me that I had an IRS levy, tax levy. Now, I got a W-2 this year that said that I made $73,000 and I only made about $50,000.
Oh, my God.
Where's the other $23,000? We've been asking for the agency. They took money out of the back pay because I collected unemployment, which was $6,150. $7,150. That's the maximum amount. They're only allowed to draw 6 months of unemployment.
Okay.
So just, no matter how much money you have up there in the state of Tennessee, you're only allowed to draw 6 months. So after 6 months, I got $7,150. They took that money out of the backpack, but I'm the one that's responsible for that money, and they cannot provide me proof that they paid, that they repaid the state.
Oh wow. I ran into something similar to this, but go ahead.
They took 28% tax. They taxed the back pay at 28%. Then they turn around and taxed another 20% because it was a lump sum payment. So they took over $15,000 in taxes.
Oh my God!
Didn't get any money back because they put it all in 2016, and it should have been back pay, which would have been 2014, 2015, not 2016. I didn't earn it in 2016. Okay, taxes were different. We're talking about a different tax rate. The tax rate in 2014 is not the same as it is in 2016. It's more.
Now, what I know about taxes is, when it comes to this, they don't care when you got paid. It's when the money was earned. They don't care, you know, so when the money was earned, whatever the tax rate was, when the money was earned is the tax rate that has to apply.
Well, you're looking at an MSPB decision by the administrative judge that says it was back pay. You got to go back and put the money in the year that it was earned, 2014, 2015, not the year that I got the money back. That's why they call it back pay.
Exactly.
which is prohibited under USC 5. What has happened is they've got me in a different tax. They say I made $73,000 in the year 2016, and actually I made $50,000.
Oh,
and
my
then
God.
After they took the 20%, then they put it in with my regular paycheck and taxed it again.
Holy cow. Can you refile your taxes, Sean?
I can't file any taxes because they haven't done a W-2.
Because
the W-2s, the money has to be deposited in 2014 and 2015. So they have to be a correct W-2 done. They haven't done any of that. And I'm trying to get the administrative judge to issue a ruling on compliance. Her decision will be 2 years old in October. This is all supposed to have been done with in 120 days.
Well, my experience with these agencies is that all of those time limits and, you know, you this long to respond and then we have to resolve it. None of that means that's just for public consumption. The reality of it is they don't pay any attention to any of that and nobody makes them.
Okay, but there are regulations in the MSPB. When you look at the ruling in the MSPB, they had 120 days start to finish to resolve this.
Holy cow!
I'm going on 2 years since the decision, since the judge ruled in my favor. They haven't put me back. The judge told them to put me back to work. They put me in an office, I call it a 3x5. With a computer and a telephone.
Uh-huh.
With nothing to do.
Jiminy Christmas. And we're paying for this.
So latest what has happened is they're trying to give me this 14-day suspension, and while we were looking at reviewing the case, my attorney and I realized that, hey, they conducted two administrative investigative boards against me. One of them I knew about that I testified in, and one that I didn't testify in. And both of them exonerated me. And the attorney of record that worked for the government and the agency's labor employment relations person, they conspired together. Both of these AIBs exonerated me, and they suppressed that evidence and still fired me.
Gee, many Christmas, and still fired you. And this was all, Sean, just to clarify for our listeners, this was all because you reported wrongdoing at this facility.
Yes, dirty dialysis.
And you're required. You're required by law to report abuse, waste, fraud. I know all federal employees are.
As a federal employee, you have an obligation, if you know a wrongdoing, to report it, or you can be seen as guilty as the parties that are.
Jiminy Christmas. In this facility that you're at, they're in Memphis.
Yes.
They've switched administrators now 3 different times, right?
Well, we're on our 4th guy now.
Oh.
Since I last talked to you.
Oh. Well, where did the other three go? Where did they get promoted to?
The other guy, Mr. Wood, the one that probably had most sense of all of them, but he was handicapped because they didn't give him the power to actually come in and fire and get rid of people.
Uh-huh.
But he's gone back to Idaho to his five-star hospital. And we inherited a guy named Belmont, if you go out there and pull him up, he's the associate director of the Lexington VA, and he's been detailed a number of times, but he's got his degree from an online.
Oh, okay.
University of Phoenix.
Uh huh.
He's got a Bachelor of Science degree from Phoenix University online.
The science of what? I want to know.
online. And he's the head man running our hospital. So once my attorney and I got together and we realized what had occurred, so we went in to meet with the associate director, who's another interim associate director from another VA somewhere in Chicago. I think he's from the Hines VA, which,
uh-huh,
you know, Hines has had their problems. Illinois has had their problems with VA hospitals. I think
Illinois
has
a problem with everything. That has got to be one of the most corrupt states.
I think this VA was where they were serving the veterans roaches in their food. So
yes,
cockroaches, yeah. So I think this is where he's the associate director, and he's here. So we went in to have this meeting with him and my attorney, and first thing I noticed was the same people who had initiated this action are still in the room. Now, prior to when we had this other director, they were removed from the room.
Uh-huh.
So, and they were removed from anything to do with the case. Well, now I find, we had it put on the record. And we asked this director, Mr. Kiosk, we presented a written synopsis of what we felt the case was, and he looked at it, put it back in the envelope, and closed the envelope up. And so my attorney asked him, "Are you going to read it?" He said, "I'm going to read it later." So my attorney
said it had too many words, Sean. I've seen these judges say things are too verbose, meaning there's too many words, and you just can't put too many words in there because they just can't handle it. They can't read too many words. They can't do it.
So this guy said that he wasn't going to read it. So my attorney, I got up and left the room, and I told him that I knew where he was living at in town, and he was going to be on television real soon.
Oh, God. What did he say?
He had this weird look, this deer in the headlights look, like, you know, like I had said something to threaten him. And all the thing I told him was that, hey, you know, I know where you're living at in town, and I do. I know he's living in his extended stay hotel where all government employees usually stay. It's no secret.
Wow. Jiminy Christmas. This is Sean, we've been talking with you. I think we started last year in February, if I remember correctly. I might be wrong about that. Maybe it was March. And I honestly thought that by this time, a lot of this would have been reconciled, cleaned up. The idea that this is known to the top people in the VA, and the fact that they stuffed you in this closet they call an office to retaliate with nothing to do. And we're paying these, and this administration, this VA administration keeps claiming it needs more money, more money, more money. It is, next to the USDA, probably the most mismanaged, corrupt administration we have going. Did you caught Trump's big old speech the other night, and he was talking about doing right by the veterans, and all it means is they're going to throw more money at the VA that's going to get blown on useless crap. None of it's going to get to the veterans. You know exactly what's going to happen here. This was to quiet things down, to just throw more money at them, and this retaliation against people like you is only going to get worse. Who's going to stop them? I mean, seriously, who is going to stop them? We've got a – can you – I've got a caller on here, Sean. Hold on a second. Hi, area code 772. Did you have a question or comment for Sean?
Yeah, Marty, this is Debbie Dahmer, the host of Voices Care for Animals for you. How are you?
Oh, you're good. How you doing, Deb?
Hey, pretty good. Just been out there shouting at the show and everything. We're trying to gather more voices, because the more voices out there, the better.
There you go. Well, this is one that needs to be shouted about. This is disgusting.
Yes,
Sean,
it is.
When you go to work every day, what happens when you come into work? How do the other employees treat you?
Mostly, you know, I kind of keep to myself except for a few of them. You know, most of the working folks, people in the housekeeping and those type of people, you know, I get their thumbs up. And there are a few that, you know, are appreciative of what I mm-hmm. do. But it's more so that, you know, a lot of them, you know, there's, you know, that's the guy that's going to kill it all.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I got those. But, you know, I do it because it's the right thing to do, and it's saving lives.
Yes.
Regardless what they think. When those dirty dialysis machines got revealed, eventually they did get clean.
Eventually, eventually. You talked about meeting up like with the supervisor and possibly have dropped the F-bomb. You know, sometimes, Sean, and I've said this to people before, because you get me angry enough, and I'm no lady. I'll be the first to admit it. Of course, nobody accuses me of that on a daily basis anyway. But there are occasions when you have to reduce your language to a level the idiot you're talking to can comprehend.
What I found so offensive about the whole thing is I got emails from this guy where I sent him stories that I've been working on, and he's cussing all through the email. He's dropping the F-bomb. And I'm so I you know, I don't get that. Like I told the associate director, I didn't understand. Had he said, hey, I don't want to tolerate that type of language right now, I would have said, excuse me, I'm sorry. But I didn't get that from him. And he's had conversations with me. We're talking about another veteran, and we're talking about a guy who's the first sergeant. What first sergeant that don't use bad language?
There
you go. What first sergeant that I've ever been around that didn't curse?
All day long. All day long. Yep.
So
exactly.
It's like my attorney said, cursing in the hallway is something that, you know, you hear every day at the VA hospital.
Yep. Yeah, you are absolutely. Well, you can hear it just about anywhere you go, quite honestly.
Anywhere where there's ex-military, you're going to hear it.
Exactly.
It was tolerated.
Yeah. It was not only tolerated, it was, you know, just part of the deal.
I've been to a few general retirements, and they dropped quite a few of them during their retirement. I'm talking about with former presidents and senators and dignitaries. So give me a break on it. You know,
there you
there's
go.
A lot more. There are a lot more problems in that hospital than a word about me saying the F-mom.
There. Yeah, exactly.
Just today on Channel 13 News, Fox News here, they dropped a story about the amount of asbestos that has not been removed in our hospital.
Oh, good
courtesy
Lord.
Courtesy of yours truly again.
Oh, wow. Gee, many Christmas.
OSHA is citing them. They've gotten reports for exceeding the asbestos poundage. That's the amount. They've only allowed a certain amount that they can get rid of in a yearly time. And they've been exceeding that.
Oh, my God. I noticed at the end of this article by Mike Volpe, he talks about David Kustoff, 8th District of Tennessee. And this stuff drives me wild. He says, I am deeply troubled by the allegations of misconduct at the Memphis VA Medical Center. My staff and I will continue to monitor the situation and provide any assistance Chairman Rowe may need in this investigation. I'm so sick of these people talking about how they're gravely concerned and deeply troubled and they're hurt in their heart and then nothing happens. Apparently, they get over the pain rather quickly.
David Kustoff is a newly elected Republican who's a former U.S. U.S. attorney. He's a former U.S. prosecutor. So if he puts that hat on, then he should have a ball in our hospital. If he puts his former U.S. attorney's hat on, prosecutor hat on, maybe somebody should go to jail if he comes into Memphis, if he's concerned about what goes on at the Memphis VA hospital. Because I can hand him quite a few. I've sent three I know. I've sent two fiduciaries. One fiduciary has lost his license to practice law, and he's on his way to prison after stealing over $300,000 from one veteran. I've sent an employee who stole over $1 million. He's doing 2 years in prison. I've got another one who was selling benefits to veterans. He's a former benefits clerk. He came to work from one of our visiting offices, and he came to Memphis and he started selling benefits, telling veterans for $2,500, I'll get you approved.
Chimney.
He's on his way to prison. So it's a lot of corruption going on in the Memphis VA hospital.
It's going on everywhere, Sean.
They're talking about giving these employees bonuses. How can you justify giving a bonus in a facility that was a 5-star that is now a 1-star? How does that even come out of your mouth?
I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I really, you've got me, Sean. Nobody can get me to this point. But I really don't even know what to say. This is just absolutely...
Now granted, it is not everyone in that hospital. Everyone in that hospital is not right, although there are a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people that come to work and do an excellent job. They work their heart out. There are employees in there that are dying because they ain't going and getting the medical care they need.
Too many Christmas.
You've got a laboratory in there that is so understaffed. If they haven't killed anybody, they're on their way to it.
Chimney Christmas.
You had a lab manager that was over that lab they just removed since we last talked, who did not have the credentials to even be over that lab.
Then how did he get the job?
She knew a friend of a friend and brought a friend with her.
Oh, I see.
Oh, a lot of that goes on. You got mother and daughters. And I could take you to DOD and Millington, and you'd wonder if they ever close the base down, they'd probably be suicide because everybody in their family's out of work. It's not like the wife and the husband, the wife loses her job and the husband can carry on. No, everybody loses because the whole family's working out there.
Jiminy Christmas. This is absolutely disgusting. And you've been reporting, I'm surprised at the cooperation of Fox News. I think they are probably on the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst. They're probably a 10 plus as far as being bogus news reporting. And I'm surprised you were actually able to get anything on Fox News of this nature.
Fox hasn't been a problem with one story I had a problem with Fox. That paralyzed veteran being left alone.
Yes.
I had a problem. That news director That guy had that story almost a month, and his lawyers kept playing with him and playing with him, or at least that was the story I got. And they played with him and played with him, and finally I told him I had to do what I had to do, and I sent it to a contact at Fox and Friends, and it went viral.
Oh, wow.
And
after
it went viral, then about maybe 10 days later, they got that news anchor came out with the story. But he had the exclusive interview. He had everything. He had the footage. He had the video. He had done an interview with the veteran.
Well, what I have found out of dealing with the media, from newspapers on up to TV broadcasting, is that reporter can go get the story, but it's people higher up than him. And then every major news media in the country under Operation Mockingbird, CIA, the news is washed and cleaned. And unless you just get a rogue editor or producer that just says, go with it, you normally can't get anything like this out. They won't give it any attention. So I'm really surprised. I'm pleased, but very surprised that this happened. Yeah.
Well, what I've learned, and makes it so hard for them not to report my stuff is because I've got it so documented. It's, you know,
yes,
everything's right there. It's black and white. I got the documents to back everything up.
Sean, talk a little bit about this episode where these two employees were caught on video beating a patient up.
I came to work one day. I didn't find out. I found out about it. I found out about it on the 12th is when I found out about it. And when I found out on the 12th is when I reported it. But someone may mention it, you know, I had been hearing, you know, things of that sort for a while, that some patients were getting abused on our mental health ward. And I was like, nah, nobody would do anything like that because, first of all, that's an automatic dismissal offense.
Mm-hmm.
Patient abuse, you know, you automatically lose your license and everything. But it got told to me. When it got told to me, I was like, nah, that couldn't happen. And then it got told to me again by a much more credible resource.
Okay.
And then that's when I reported it. I said, okay, if I can pretty much bet you that if I'm just hearing it and it's happening, it happened, I got it 4 days later, and it wasn't reported to the supervisor for 3 days, so I can bet you that they didn't report it where it should have gone.
Right.
Which was Joint Commission.
Okay.
So when I reported it to the House Veteran Affairs Committee, because I had a contact there when I was working with Jeff Miller, when he was the chairman.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know Chairman Rowe personally, and I've never talked to him, and I've never talked to any of his people other than those that have continued on from Chairman Miller's. So he does have a couple of people that I've talked to that continued on from Chairman Miller's tenure. But I reported it to them, and then I reported it to the Joint Commission. And then from there, I reported it to the news media. After I got to the news media.
Did they lose their jobs? Did these employees lose their jobs?
No. Everything is still currently under investigation. These people they're placed on administrative leave with pay.
Oh, and that's better than what you got.
They placed on administrative leave with pay and pending the outcome of the investigation.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So say the investigation comes out that they just wailed the hell out of this mental health patient. Do they have to pay this money back that they were paid?
What I've got a problem with, Marty, is that the way it went down and these same individuals are involved in management in this same area. And I can tie it back to the paralyzed veterans being left alone. That nurse manager, Melissa Taylor, she was the chief nurse in the spinal cord injury wing. And that veteran went to her and told her that why are you leaving us alone like this? And she did nothing. That same ward, she was the chief nurse in that same ward where they found the Legionella in the water system, in the cooling tower.
Oh, my God.
Okay? When we'll trace it to mental health. She is now the chief of the acting chief of mental health, where these patients were abused at. Now, that's three instances of failed leadership. Where I come mm-hmm. from, you lose your job.
There you go.
That's not happening. It's almost to the sense that if you F up, you move up in the VA system.
There you go. I've heard that from so many people, Sean. I got a question here for you from a chatter, and it said, do you believe Trump will help the VAs? Do you think he will?
I thought that he might, being that his first move, within his first week, he had fired two VA employees, but his selection for Secretary of VA, we weren't impressed as veterans.
Okay. Who did Dr.
Shokin is who he picked.
Yep.
And he was the former Undersecretary of Health. He came in after the scandal broke. So
okay.
He's been an Undersecretary of Health for 2 years. So he's a part of the same folks that we're having a problem with. Well, I felt like.
Well, exactly. And we're seeing this across the board with these cabinet appointees. One of the people that scares me to death that he's appointed has been this, they call him Mad Dog Mattis, that he put in charge of the Pentagon, the Department of Defense. This guy is a psychopath, admittedly, a psychopath. He loves to kill. He talks about killing, how he loves shooting people, how he loves the smell of blood and watching them blow apart. This is the Hannibal Lecter of the military. And people like this scare me. And I've told people, if you think this man won't turn on you, just as easy as he did somebody overseas, you're sadly mistaken. Now we see this Shulkin coming in, who knows full well what's been going on at the VA across the United States. There's too many of you out there blowing the whistle. They know. It's been on the news. It's been in the papers. It's all over the net. They know. And yet nobody will do anything. When I listened to that speech by Trump, some of it I thought, oh, okay. Most of it was just pure BS, in my opinion. I have to tell you, I was no Clinton fan. I was glad that woman didn't get in. We'd be even in worse shape, in my opinion. But I had some, in areas, high hopes for Trump. I've been tragically disappointed in the past. It looks like I'm going to be again. And you cannot keep recycling these people. And you know the reason they're recycled from department to department and over here and now they're over there is because they can be depended on.
Let me give you a little insight as to what is really going on. If you think about it, when has the FBI ever at the beginning of an investigation ever stated who they're not going to charge in a case? At the very beginning.
Yep.
Now, I have to think logically. The FBI directors came out and told us that General Flynn, we're not going to prosecute General Flynn. At the very beginning of his investigation, we're not going to prosecute General Flynn. Now, what would cause them statement?
Exactly.
What would cause them to make that statement is General Flynn is going to hand them Donald Trump on a platter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. If he doesn't help,
unraveling. It unraveled today with the Attorney General.
Yeah.
He perjured himself. He perjured himself on national television.
It doesn't matter, Sean, because these people are never held accountable. The law only applies to you and me. National security applies to them. When we talk national security, we're talking about this whole criminal gang operating out there on the East Coast. And they talk about national security. It does not apply to us commoners out here. National security is protecting them from us. So the law is only applied when it can be used against us. And when it comes to them, they have some kind of special immunity. And you see the payoff for that. If you can be depended upon to toe the mark and you know, keep the flight plan moving forward, you don't get fired. You don't get prosecuted. You get moved.
You get
promoted.
Part.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
If Trump doesn't, I got another question here for you. If Trump doesn't help the VA, do you see any way forward with this?
What I see is, I think, and I'm calling for, I would like to see I think the only way that veterans are gonna get people to come to the table, and I joke about it all the time, is that they make Congress use what VA use the VA for their healthcare system, and watch how fast it gets fixed.
Yep. Well, they didn't have to be part of Obamacare. You know, they were too special for that. So you
well,
know darn well they would never go to the VA. And we've got two members. We've got two members in Congress right now that served. The rest of those people there have never gone to war. And if they start another war, they're not going to go. Their kids aren't going to go. Their grandkids aren't going to go. It's going to be our moms, dads, husbands, wives, our children, our grandchildren. They're going to send. They're going to stay safely out there in the district of criminals. That's what they're going to do. And they're going to sit down and eat their dinner at night and feel nice and safe and warm. And then they will bring them home. I had a lady on the show, last Friday's show, and we talked about burn pits and those kind of things. And she talked about how we send these people to war, and then it follows them home. They bring home what happened to them there, and then we throw them aside. And it is not the American public that is throwing them aside. It's the government. It's this VA administration that for some reason gets billions of dollars and cannot manage the business of handling these veterans. Now, there's something wrong in this, but nobody is ever prosecuted. Nobody loses their job. Nobody even gets a slap on the wrist. They simply get promoted and shuffled off to another, and you bring in another one that'll keep things rolling just the way they are. I don't get it, Sean. I don't get it. What are we supposed to be doing here? We'd be better off when they came home. I think we should do this on a voucher system. Those veterans come home, the family, if they're willing, take care of them. Give them a voucher to help pay for their medical care. And get rid of this VA altogether, because it is siphoning billions of dollars off of taxpayer money, and they are not helping the veterans.
What I advocate is that they do away with VA and merge VA with DOD.
No, you just scared me.
If they merge it with DOD. That active duty person knows that one day I'm going to be a veteran, so that's going to be my health care.
Yep. But I don't know. It just, oof. I the more I hear about this, Sean, the more convinced I am it just needs to be done away with. It doesn't work.
I'm saying get rid of VA and merge VA with DOD health care.
Okay. Well, why couldn't they do that?
They could do it.
Yeah, they could do it.
It's the same records. You're paying to convert DOD records to DA records. For what?
Yeah.
When you leave the Department of Defense, you become VA.
Right. That's not
just
good.
Leave the same, the system in place. And what you got in cost, you'll meet with the man with the military.
There you go. That might be working, but you know they're never going to do that, Sean. There's too much money coming into this pig, and too many people making money off of it, for them to ever allow this to happen. My whole problem behind all of this and dealing with all these agencies and everything is that we have a Congress sitting there through various presidencies that knows full well what's happening. We don't need hearings, committing hearings and all of this stuff, because they don't do anything. They're non-productive anyway. Nothing comes of it. The closest I've seen of anything happening was that December 1st USDA hearing that Chevette's and Cummins and all of them were on, where they took the USDA to the cleaners, took them to the woodshed, basically, and didn't let them get away. That's the first time in all these years of watching all this political back and forth that goes on out there that I actually got some hope that somebody was going to do something about the USDA and the Forestry Service and all of the crap that goes on in that organization. I did look up the Veterans Administration. This is another government services agency. It is a privately owned corporation. It is contracted to the federal government, and we have to fund it. And they can, I know at the top, they can negotiate drug prices, but there is also an incentive to keep that price as high as possible because they get a kickback on it. So what we're seeing, and I hear this from veterans across the country, is that they are being given prescriptions, 3 and 4 prescriptions for the same, like say high blood pressure, the same condition, massive doses of these prescriptions. And this is done to up that ante from the pharmaceutical companies. And this has got to be stopped. And I got scared in that speech too from Trump when he talked about negotiating drug prices, because, and he's talking about how long it takes to get things through the FDA, and the FDA is directly, has a direct line to the VA because they're one of their biggest buyers, about fast tracking. If it gets any faster at the FDA, we might as well close that one down, because you don't need to do it anyway. You just have to pay them enough money and everything gets approved. I mean, they don't, we've got scientists we're paying there. I don't know what they do because they aren't testing any. So, but what I'm seeing, so things like that, when I hear that, the alarm bells go off. The FDA is basically worthless anything anyway. All it does is contract with other corporations against the public, and they get away with it. And it's like corporate nepotism. Everybody's scratching somebody else's back, and the money just keeps rolling. And I don't know. I'll have to think this over about, I can't see it would be any worse under the DOD. I really can't see it would be any worse. But I just...
Well, I don't think you would have the theft that you have. You don't have the theft in DOD that you have in VA. Because you got so many contractors and so many civilians, man.
Yeah. Well,
it's like I tell them like this. The VA's motto is I care. And I ask the question when I go in a meeting, do you care?
Yeah.
And they look at me like I spoke Swahili or something. And I ask them, they say, what do you mean? What do you mean? I said, do you care? That's what your motto says, I care. Do you care?
Yeah. See, my problem with the DOD, Sean, is 2 days before 9/11, Donald Rumsfeld came out and said that the Pentagon and Department of Defense had lost or misplaced $2.3 trillion, and they didn't know what happened to it. And then we had 9/11, and nobody ever talked about it again. See, to me,
you got to remember where that money went from. You know where that money went from. That money came from Saddam trying to find Saddam. You got to remember, they found Saddam in a hole in the ground. But they said he had $800,000 in the ground. Really?
Mm-hmm.
But he had U.S. plates.
Yeah.
So he was spending a lot of money. What did George Bush tell us as president? When they talked to him, when he said we're running out of money, what did he say? Print some more.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and this constant beating the drum, you know, they're trying now to start a war with Russia. And somebody said recently about, well, look at what Putin's doing, you know, and I mean, he's getting all these weapons together and his military is training and blah, blah, blah. And how do we know that? Because we have NATO surrounding his entire perimeter. We are amassing a military there. Now, I'm sorry, but if Trump sat there on his butt and did nothing while Russia surrounded our perimeter with the military, I'd be scared.
The wild card in that is North Korea.
You think so?
Yes.
Why?
That's the wild. That's the wild card.
Okay.
Putin's gonna do what Putin's gonna do.
Yep.
That's not our problem.
Yep.
Our problem is gonna be North Korea.
Oh my. Oh, I don't want to hear that. Ooh. If somebody said something about Putin and him interfering in our elections, we have interfered in the elections and overthrown governments and installed puppet dictators for the last 50 years. I don't want to hear about Putin interfering.
Iran, Iraq, Panama.
Yep.
What else you want to name?
Yep, exactly. And they don't have to do anything, Sean. We're going to implode on ourselves. Putin's sitting back just watching, waiting. The Assad and Iran just sitting back. We have done everything along with Israel to antagonize Iran, and they're just sitting there. That man's got nerves of steel. We have run training sorties over his airspace and accidentally dropped some bombs. We had our warships out there in the Strait of Hormuz, right outside his territorial waters, doing training exercises, and we've done everything to antagonize this man, and he just sits there. And I think if this goes down, I think if they try to start one more freaking war, what's going to happen is you're going to see Russia, Iran, and China band together and come after us. And we haven't, it isn't the size of the military. It isn't the Homeland Security, which is such a joke. It isn't any of that. There will be nothing to protect us. Their numbers are going to be so great, and it's going to be so terrible. The whole world is sick to death of us screwing with them. And eventually, and it's starting to form behind this, even as an amateur as I am, I can see that these people are just sitting back waiting. They're just sitting back waiting, Sean. And what will we do with the veterans that come home from this, if they even come home, if any of us are even still here?
I don't anticipate that it'll be a conventional war.
It won't.
Sure, it'll be the afterlife, so we won't know anything about it.
Yeah, I agree, Sean. I agree. We'll be pretty much wiped off the planet. We cannot even manage affairs here at home. We cannot manage these agencies without massive fraud, waste, and abuse, the VA being a prime example. We can't manage the USDA. We can't manage the FDA. The CDC is so corrupt you can't see straight. And now, and the idea that they're talking about possibly a war with Russia. Well, and I see people on the net talking about, we need to go after Russia. Yeah, you go first. Me and mine will stay home if you don't mind. You just get right on over there.
What are we supposed to be going after Russia for?
Well, we don't know for sure, but they just know he's a bad guy. Putin is a bad guy. He's a bad guy, especially after he bulldozed 14 tons of genetically modified food and told the Russian that you cannot plant GMO over there, that he won't allow anything in the country that contains genetically modified organisms. He will not allow Monsanto in there. And so right after he did that, suddenly he became public enemy number one, and they're trying to start the Cold War again with Shagbat going. But like I say, we got NATO all around his perimeter to antagonize him, and he's just sitting there waiting on us. He's just sitting there waiting on us. It's like watching a big old fat cat sit there and wait for the canary to fly in. I don't know.
Well, didn't the Clintons get him a certain amount of uranium?
Yeah, the Clinton Foundation, Bill and Hillary, this is what caused that mess out there at the refuge in Oregon. That mountain out there has a lot of uranium in it. The people wouldn't get off the mountain, and the Clintons sold Putin 20 to 30% of the uranium deposits out there, and then send in the Army Corps of Engineers and the BLM and God knows who else, and told people that have been on that mountain for generations to get the hell off, because now it was Russia's. And the Clinton Foundation made somewhere between $2 and $3 million off this deal. Now, this is all documented. You don't have to take my word for it. Papers are all out there. And so when we talk about Trump, you know, dealing with Russia, oh, he's had deals with Russia. You even need to look at the Clintons. They had a lot of deals with Russia. And what happened to this global economy? I thought we were supposed to be global. We're supposed to be including everybody. Why can't we include Putin? There was nothing hidden about this deal. Of course, we've got Americans now who stood their ground that are been in court once and acquitted, but the government's going back after them again. Is it going to be at a cost of about $30 million, trying to put them in prison to teach them a lesson?
I thought that's what the transatlantic was supposed to be, the best thing smoking.
Yeah, well, that Trans-Pacific Partnership, Trump canned that, which is a good thing he did. I have to give him credit for that. He put the skids on that, and he's talking about either ending totally or severely changing NAFTA and CAFTA. And NAFTA, of course, Bill Clinton signed. And when he did, you saw the big, huge flight out of the country of all of our manufacturing and everything else, and they headed for slave labor markets, and then they dropped all the tariffs so they can bring their crap right back in here without any taxes on it. Trump talked about that, we're letting these other countries bring their stuff in, but if we sell anything in their country, there's this massive tariff on it, this massive tax, because you're competing with their domestic market. But, of course, everybody that I've seen or dealt with out there in D.C. Of a political nature, you know, everything's for sale, including their office and their vote. And as long as they get rich, they really don't give a damn about you or me or anything else. And this is just kind of the way it goes. But like I say, before we start more wars of aggression or start antagonizing people, we've got a mess here at home that needs to be cleaned up. And that is the VA, the USDA, the FDA, CDC, all of the, and the Department of Justice is a freaking joke. I don't know. And I got an email here, Sean. I only got a couple minutes. I got an email here from someone who says that I'm unpatriotic. Excuse me, Mr. Thang. I'm very patriotic. Don't ever question my patriotism, because I don't believe these jerks out there in D.C., because if their lips are moving and sound is coming out, they're lying, and that's a fact. And we've caught them too many times. And yes, I am a conspiracy theorist. I'm someone who questions the statements of known liars, and that's just the way that is. Sean, we got about 90 seconds left. I want to thank you for getting on here tonight. I love being with you, and we're going to update you with back on. We went off on that day. Any article, read them, and get they put together anything on Twitter. Give me a call. We can pull together. Yeah.
Oh, looks like we're dying here. It's like we were dying there for a second. you coming in and out. I guess Homeland Security got tired of us.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, we got it. We have about 45 seconds. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Tuesday nights, Voices Carry for Animals. On Wednesday nights, when available, Wild Horse and Burrow Radio. Thursday nights, of course, is Whistleblowers. And Friday, tomorrow at 11 a.m., is the Veterans Show. And we'll be picking up Guardianship 2, a few shows here and there on Sunday or Monday evenings, just depending on how tired I get and what I want to talk about. Sean, again, thank you for being our guest. We'll see y'all next week. Good night, everybody.
All right.